Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. To make a donation, please use the link to the left of this webpage. And thanks.
It's Living on Earth. I'm Bruce Gellerman. Many of the deadly infectious diseases that plague people first infected animals. The bubonic plague came from infected rats. The Spanish flu pandemic came from birds. And scientists have tracked HIV, the AIDS-causing virus, to chimpanzees. Still, researchers don't know precisely how viruses jump from one species to another or what triggers a viral disease to spread like wildfire. One of the scientists searching for answers is Nathan Wolf, a biologist at UCLA. Dr. Wolf calls himself a virus hunter. We hunted him down in his home in Venice, California, but much of the time you'll find him in some far-flung place trying to prevent the next pandemic by detecting viruses before they make the leap from animal to people. Hi, Dr. Wolf.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing okay. I have a bit of a cold. Virus, probably. One of the many viruses on the planet that we actually probably won't ever identify.
Why not? I mean, what would you do to identify this virus?
Well, certainly one of the questions for us is a virus worth identifying? One of the really amazing things about being a biologist right around now is we have the tools to understand viruses and to identify them, yet there's so much amazing things that are completely unknown. The world is absolutely filled with viruses. So as we sort of start, we have to think carefully about which ones are we going to even bother to identify. And frankly, my cold virus is probably not amongst them.
Now, the federal government and drug companies spend big bucks developing vaccines for viruses that cause things like malaria and hepatitis B and C and HIV. You take a much different approach.
Oh, absolutely. And of course, one of the major objectives of my research is to try to identify what could be future pandemics. And instead of waiting for something like HIV to spread around the world in a way that's going to be very, very difficult to manage, that we could actually try to understand these agents before they became major diseases. And so if you kind of think of this process as the process of a whole range of different viruses and other agents which are present in animals, and then human beings who we have our own diseases, but we also have the potential to gain new diseases, whether it be SARS or Ebola or HIV, you know, you name it. These are all things that are new. But the question is, how do you catch that in the process? How do you actually watch one of these viruses jump from one species to the next species, and particularly from a species of animal into humans? And our idea is that we can actually try to catch this portal or bridge by focusing on people who have a lot of contact with animals. And that may be people who are working in markets where they sell live wild animals. It may be individuals who are hunting or butchering wild animals. But whenever you have this sort of hunting and contact, you're going to have a tremendous potential for transmission of agents in all different sorts of tissues. So we really think it's a very important interface for the entry of new diseases into humans.
Well, how does that happen? How does a virus, say, start in a pig or a snake and then jump to a person?
Very honestly, part of that is what we're still studying and trying to determine. But often, you know, our vision in the States or in the West of a hunter might be somebody who is decked out in army fatigues and, you know, wearing an orange vest. But in most parts of the world where people are hunting for subsistence, you can often hunters that we go out with will be wearing flip-flops and a pair of shorts. They'll be butchering with a machete. So you can just imagine, if you think to yourself, how many times have you cut yourself in the kitchen while you've been slicing onions or garlic? You know, over course of weeks and months and years of day-to-day interaction, there's going to be a lot of potential for maybe cutting yourself or having a cut on your back, carrying an animal and having some blood have contact. So there's really a tremendous amount of potential interaction if you think of this in terms of millions of people hunting and day-to-day interaction with these wild animals. And sometimes there can also be, you know, you can get a bite if you find an animal that's still alive in a snare. So that there's a lot of potential, I think, for really close contact between us and animals through hunting.
You spent 6 years studying hunters in Cameroon. What did you find?
Well, we found a number of things, and those studies are actually ongoing, and the project continues in Cameroon. But we've looked for a range of different agents, whether it be viruses transmitted by mosquitoes like dengue and yellow fever, to hemorrhagic fever viruses like Ebola. Some of our most interesting findings have actually been in the area of retroviruses. And so this is the class of viruses of which HIV is a member. And so obviously, unlike my cold virus, this is one that we really want to know if there's new viruses entering into the human population. So we've actually found a number of new retroviruses that have entered into humans, and it looks like hunting is probably a very important mechanism for that entry.
Hmm. What was the name of the one that you found?
Well, we found a couple. One of the viruses we found was really pretty much unknown in humans, other than a few cases that had been seen in people working in sort of laboratory situations. But this is a virus called the simian foamy virus. And frankly, it was quite a surprise. I remember actually the moment in the laboratory when I was doing the tests and actually came across the definitive evidence that these viruses were in our hunters. And it really was an unusual and surprising discovery. I myself really didn't expect to see it. I thought if it occurred, it was quite rare. But in fact, we find that these viruses are probably in thousands, if not tens of thousands or more individuals who have this close contact with, in this case, particularly primates, monkeys and apes.
Does it make them sick?
Well, you know, we don't know about that yet. Retroviruses like HIV and HTLV, which are the two really known important retroviruses in humans, they actually are chronic viruses. So unlike, for example, Ebola or flu or SARS, which sort of make you sick and either you die or you get better, these are viruses which take a long time to make individuals sick. And for the foamy virus, we're actually out there right now working with these individuals who you know, generously contribute their time to participate in these studies to be able to really understand, do these viruses spread? Do they cause disease? But we're still really just at the beginning of the process of understanding what the importance of these agents is. But of course, that's the big idea. You discover it early, and then you try to trace through what's going on with the agent to see what's happening with it.
When you go into the field, you've got to take blood from these people, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So how do you get them to trust you?
Well, we've been working in Cameroon now since 1998, 99. And what we have is we have long-term interactions in the villages that we work in. And for example, through assistance from the U.S. Embassy in Cameroon and other sources, we've been able to actually build in some of these communities health and conservation outreach centers. So we have a long-term interaction with these locations, but I think it's very, very important. You can imagine in any community that anybody's living in, somebody knocks on your door and starts saying, oh, we'd like to talk to you about various activities and we'd like to sample your blood. This is something which is a long-term process. And to do it properly, you really have to have a tremendous amount of buy-in from the leadership within the village and from the individual hunters.
Is there some responsibility to them, though, an ethical responsibility, not just to follow them, but perhaps treat them medically?
Oh, absolutely. And we provide a really substantial amount of medical care for populations that we work in. Now, of course, in the case of foamy virus, we still haven't determined if there's any disease caused by foamy virus, so there's really no treatment to do. But there's a tremendous amount of counseling as to possible transmission. And, so we spend a lot of time sort of dealing with people who are in these communities.
So, Nathan Wolfe, how many potential pandemics are there waiting to happen?
Oh, well, let's just say there'll be plenty of business for myself and people doing my line of work for many years to come. Things are changing. We're becoming more urban increasingly. We have phenomenal globalization, which has all sorts of benefits, but also has the fact that a virus that emerges somewhere in the middle of Central Africa today can be in Seattle, Washington tomorrow. So the level of connection between us and the animals around us and the sorts of populations and transport which allows these things to become established is changing very quickly. There do seem to be patterns about where these diseases come from. And so that just in the same way that we need to push forward forecasting of weather, we try to understand what are the patterns of earthquakes and hurricanes, just like that, disease pandemics are a form of natural disaster, and there's no reason at all why we shouldn't be moving these things forward and at least attempting to come up with predictive systems and forecasting systems. In 100 years, when people look back at this period of history, they're going to be saying, wow, they really cared about these diseases, they really were trying to control them, but they you know, but they might have really been missing the boat. They really waited for these things to become major pandemics. They didn't try to understand the nature of them and to try to control them early on before that happened.
Well, Dr. Wolf, it was good speaking to you.
It was really nice speaking to you. Thank you very much.
UCLA biologist and virus hunter Nathan Wolf is the lead author of the article Origins of the Major Human Infectious Diseases. It's in the current issue of Nature magazine.